We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, January 23rd, and it has been an interesting weather week.
Ugh.
I mean, holy cow. I think I saw something that was posted by Anchorage. I'm not sure if you saw this. Anchorage is the National Weather Service office. So check this little statistic out, if you would. New Orleans, Louisiana has received more than double the amount of snowfall that we received here in Anchorage, Alaska since the start of meteorological winter, December 1st. New Orleans has 8 inches of snow. Anchorage has 3.8 inches of snow since December 1st.
That's bonkers.
And they said, we would like our snow back or at least some king cake in return. So... yeah, talk about topsy-turvy weather. I mean, the first time in my life I've ever seen a blizzard warning on the Gulf Coast. You know?
Yeah, no, it's been completely bonkers to see all that, man. The picture of the gator in Florida hanging out in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... I have not enjoyed it. I have blown through a shit ton of wood in my fireplace.
I believe it. Well, for those of you who are not aware who we are, I am Rob White, Fighting Texas A, Class 14.
Yeah, and I'm Roy May, Fighting Texas A, Class 2015.
And, we are the Red Ass Podcast, and we're here to get into a little bit of, let's say, we got a little basketball, a little Premier League talk, a little Champions League talk, maybe. Getting awfully close to that spring date for baseball and softball coming up here very shortly, so... A lot on the horizon to look forward to as soon as we can get out of this colder weather.
Yeah. Well, but you also know, as is tradition, there's going to be a blistering cold series at Olsen.
Always. If it's not that first weekend, it's that first Tuesday after.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about the Tuesday cold ones, man. They're just brutal.
Yeah.
What it is. Maybe because there's not enough people in the stands to block the wind.
Right, and you know, it's like 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, and you do have that cross breeze, because it's always about 10 degrees colder in Olsen, for those of you who have never been. It does get cold at night with that little cross breeze, and it makes for some interesting shenanigans, because, you know, Everybody else is gone, and there's like a handful of people just hanging out, waiting for, you know, just goofing.
Yeah, it's a biting cold up there, man. Those bleachers, you know, the wind's cooling you off, your butt's cold.
Oh, yeah. All the good stuff on that front. But we are not quite there yet.
The beer stays cold, though.
The longer. Beer does stays cold.
So yeah. There's that.
And you know what? We were the first school to do it. Aggie Baseball was the first event to do it for the SEC, which is hilarious.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, we became like the hotspot destination for all of these other people to go for a road series because, hey, we can go drink at A&M. It's like amazing what happens. You break out and you start talking about money, and all of a sudden people get very excited at a prospect. But that's just the way, that's the way of the world, I suppose.
Well, I actually saw, speaking of that though, the Baltimore Orioles just put out that they're introducing 11 items in concessions for $5 or less for next year. And the most expensive is beer at $5, a $5 beer at a ball game. That's mind blowing.
Old. I mean, here's the deal. $2 hot dogs, dollar hot dog, you know, have a dollar hot dog night, but like $1, $2 hot dogs. Do about the same if you want to do for your nachos, you know, $2, $3 for a cheeseburger, whatever you're doing. You're going to make your money on concessions because you're already, like I said, if you drop the price on that stuff, people will jump on it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, they're already paying out their ass for a ticket these days. I wouldn't blame them one bit.
I mean, parking's exorbitant, quite frankly.
Oh, don't even get me started on parking. I said I've been to, you know, I've been to a handful of Astros games over the last several years. You know, I typically might hit one or two, maybe three a year if I'm lucky. And I'll get down there, and yeah, you're talking like $30, $40 minimum, even at a distance, much less a lot closer to the stadium. It's wild.
The tickets aren't cheap, and you get in, concessions are bonkers. You know, you're talking about like $12, hot dogs and beer. It's just your $20 beers.
Ridiculous.
It's dumb. I'm a big fan. Wasn't it oh, what's his name? The owner of the Falcons. You know him. I think he was the first one to do it. I believe I remember that going on at Mercedes-Benz, because Mercedes-Benz is Atlanta, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think they were the first ones to do it. And it's funny because you see stuff like them and the Orioles doing this, but then you see like the Astros and all these other ones that are just there, they don't care. So
They don't care.
you got to have like a dog and a beer at the game, but it's one of those things where you almost want to eat before you go at this point, and don't go down there and eat somewhere around the stadium before you go, because all those places have their prices jacked through the roof too.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous how
Old
much they're
man.
charging for that stuff. Yeah.
Old man yelling at clouds here.
It's like
I
back
remember
in my
when hot
day.
dogs were a nickel.
Yeah. Yeah, and your house cost about, a stick of gum. Like, get out of here, that's okay. That's the one boomer complaint I will always laugh about is when I hear, well, back when I was 25, I was already married, had two kids, and was able to afford a house, and she could just work at the and she could just work at home and do whatever. And I'm like, let me let you in on a little secret. There's this thing called inflation.
Yeah, back when you were 25, you were still concerned about getting drafted to go to Vietnam. All right. So just
Right.
tap the brakes a little bit. But anyways, all right.
Anyway, so
Enough of us being angry old men.
anyway, back meanwhile, back at the ranch, you've got fighting Texas Aggie basketball still going on.
Man,
Whew.
what a game, dude.
Woo.
I saw a stat. It was South Carolina, Georgia, and Ole Miss combined led for 119 minutes of the 120, and all three of them lost. Like, what a bonkers day in the SEC.
It was insane.
But yeah, that just, I mean, th that's and it just shows you this league, but I talked about it this morning. That game was almost a tale of two halves. The first half, it felt like Ole Miss couldn't, like, they couldn't miss from behind the arc.
Right.
At one point, I know they were 7 for 14. You're shooting 50% from behind the arc. And it's
Yeah.
not like they were all open shots.
Mm.
Yeah, because we, a lot of times, we over rotate or over defend. And somebody pops up behind the arc and they're just like standing there and nobody's within, 8 feet of them. But a lot of those shots were contested and they were still dropping. And I remember watching, it was like, this just kind of feels like one of those games. No matter what we do, for some reason, they're going to shoot lights out against us. And the first half, I actually watched the bowl, because last night was bowling, and
Right.
it makes me laugh because that reminds me of last season. Like, every week, the people that bowled against us, like, bowled career games and series. It was like, you're
Right.
welcome for bowling against us.
Yeah. It's like playing against A&M football with certain quarterbacks. All of a sudden, they look like Heisman contenders.
Yeah, if this is your first start and you're playing A&M, I'm betting the over on any statistical category you give me. But they did enough to hang around in the game, and it got to about the 2 minute mark, and we were still down by eight. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I can't see this one, going our way. But just the fight and the determination and creating the turnovers, fouling the right guy to send him to the line, and then of all people, Obasic, drains a three like he was at shooting practice.
Right.
Great catch and shoot. The defender was closing in on him. And this, speaking of Obaski, this goes back to last year, where Ole Miss was where he really started getting things going and putting it together. And he's had a, I mean, he hasn't been terrible by any means, but seems like he's had a bit of a rough go this year, kind of getting it going and getting into his game. So maybe this is the springboard for him, or the launching pad for him, to get right and be that Obaski we saw, late in the season last year.
Yeah.
So that was almost like one of my instant thoughts too, was it'd be great to see it. And even if you take out that three pointer, he had 9 points in the second half. Yeah, he drove the ball, he created. It was like two different modes between the first half and second half.
Yeah.
But if I'd have sat here yesterday, like afternoon, and told you we're gonna have 20 turnovers, we're only gonna go to the nine line 9 times, and we're gonna shoot in the low 30s from the field, you'd have thought we were gonna doors blown off.
Well, and you want to talk about going to the line. What, there was not a lot of free throws in this game at all,
No, the refs let him play.
which is a blessing. Like, how often have you gone into a basketball game and not thought, like, the last 2 minutes, especially if it's tight, is going to last at least 10 to 15 minutes because of stoppages, because of free throws, because of whatever? It's like, I feel like the end of a basketball game these days has gotten so insanely stretched out because you want to make it more exciting. And that just
Well,
wasn't the case.
yeah, I mean, it kind of cuts both ways for us, though, because we really live off getting to the line.
We do.
We don't live off of making the free throws all the time, but
Forcing the opportunity to get fouls and be able to shoot.
yeah, so it was I was glad to see him just let him play. I like physical basketball. I grew up in the era of Barkley and Rodman and Isaiah Thomas being up top and just being in your pocket, the whole game kind of thing. So I enjoyed it.
Oh, they love to call it a non-contact sport. There's
Well,
contact. There's always contact.
not supposed to be non-contact.
No.
And so but yeah, just an amazing win, right? And now he's got either tied for or is now the most ranked wins in a season. And I mean, look what we all still have in front of us. We're in the middle of a tough stretch now. We started last night, four or five games on the road.
Yeah.
So that's just tough. It is, man. Now we get to flip that with later in the season. We go four or five at home. So I would
Right.
rather have it that way to be able to have more home games near the end of the season so we can, if there are things we need to take care of, if we're in a position where we need to win, being at home is always going to be an advantage, just period. But you kind of got to weather the storm. You got to head to the Moody Center this weekend. Texas is a talented team, but I think if you can jump on Texas, you're going to see the same kind of results as we did last time. Just as long as Texas doesn't, just get hot. But again, they're playing us, so I expect them to shoot lights out at least for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, great to see Payne down low, them feeding him. I believe he had 10 points, like six boards. Really good game for him. It's nice to see a big man make free throws. That's always that's the one thing that's always the joke, right? Shaq made an entire career of being awful at the stripe.
Yeah.
To the point where he just laughed about it. Like he knew he sucked. But he was such an, such an imposing force down on the blocks, it didn't matter. And Payne has got that game to him. He's shifty. He can square up on you, he can back into you. So it was really nice to see him be kind of a bigger part of the offense, though I know that's not really our offense. Having that, against some of these teams where, quite frankly, there's some legit size in the SEC, like legit, and not just the SEC. And that's been one where, Henry Coleman's been your tallest guy for a while, right? Like on the inside. I know Garcia and Washington. Jeez, I don't know if,
Yeah, Solomon.
I haven't eaten lunch yet. My brain's not working. Yeah, Solo and Garcia. I know they're long, but they're not playing down on the five. That's not their game. They're long, but they're not. If they wanted to play down low, they'd have to go hit CC's buffet for about 10 straight weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're strong. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes it does come down to just how much weight you can throw around. When you're
Right.
down low. So yeah, a frustrating game.
Oh, no doubt.
Until about 25, 30 seconds left.
Well, I mean, the fact that you go on an 11-2 run at the end of the game, I mean that is just brutal.
Oh
If
yeah,
you're a home team, you know?
they held Ole Miss without a field goal for like three some odd minutes. The final three some odd minutes, they didn't have a field goal at all. Like that's amazing.
Great defense. It's
Yeah.
top-notch lockdown defense late in the game. And being able to have that in your back pocket going forward is a big deal. And that's not the first time we've come back from a deficit either. You know,
Yeah. You can shoot yourself back into a game,
Right.
but generally, you're not going to make up a lot of ground because the other team's going to get possessions too. So defense is how you, well, defense is how you stay in games, how you crawl back into games, is giving your offense, those opportunities, the turkeys, right? That Buzz always refers to, stopping them defense, scoring, stopping them again. And And so, and Ole Miss was really a fun matchup when you looked at it on paper for us.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of strengths and weaknesses between the two teams. You know, they play a very similar style of basketball to us, but they've got some real sharpshooters, is what it feels like. Now, I haven't followed Ole Miss, you know, the whole time, but from what I saw, you know, they've got a handful of dudes that can shoot from behind the arc, no problem, and they don't have any fear of doing it.
No.
Yeah, it reminded me, was it the OU game? Like, you know, OU came out just barreling us from behind the arc. That was
Right.
another one we fell behind, came back and won.
Yep. That was my main reference. I
Yeah.
was going off for that, but yeah, we've done a good job of being able to crawl back into games. Obviously, I would prefer to us just, you know, stay up in game and keep them locked down. That'd be great. But anytime you're on the road in this league, even in the years when we haven't necessarily been the strongest league on the planet, it's so critical to go on the road and steal a few of those games and then take care of business when you're at the house. So.
Oh, you've got to win on the road. And, you know, that task is even more daunting this year, just given the depth of the league.
Yeah.
But you went into, I mean, you went into Oxford for a team and played a team that hadn't lost at home this year.
Yeah.
You know,
Exactly.
and there were a couple of different metrics. Luke from Texas put out, you know, is they, it was, they hadn't lost at home. They hadn't lost, when, you know, being up by a certain amount of points. I think they hadn't lost when leading in halftime. So
Right.
you had all these things that A&M was able to overcome and overcome their own bad play, quite frankly. And I think they'll tell you, you know, another one of those you'd never think we would have won, you know, if I'd have told you. Phelps and Wade combined for 0 for 11 from behind the arc. They not a single point from behind the arc for those two guys.
No, and when you have a guy like Wade, who you would like to see, obviously still kind of nagging maybe a little bit with injury, but he's still getting some playing time. The fact that he's still not on top of his game by any means, and you're still finding a way to get those points out of other guys and working around your strategies to get back in games, that's so cool. So if we could just lock in, get to the point where we got healthy guys everywhere we need them to be, and we can go ahead and finish off these games in a more convincing fashion. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think so. Kind of the pain development, I really liked seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing Phelps and Wade realize that they're just cold from back there, and they'll keep shooting, and I don't have a problem with that. But you know, see them working to the bucket, creating. You know, some of them didn't fall. It happens. I thought at the end of the near the end of the game when they drew up the play out of the timeout for Wilcher, I'm not a big fan of going to the corner like that. Yeah, it kind of looked like he was trying to draw some contact. If that dude can lock back in, you know, because shooters are streaky, right? If
Oh,
he
yeah.
can lock back in and having something like that to where you go, you know, back to his like career percentage, right? If we can get him near that, then all of a sudden, I mean, you look at this roster and I mean, Hayden Hefter, you know, important part of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Solo, Garcia, Manny, Phelps, Wade, Payne, like it. So you have the depth and the experience. Earlier this morning on the fan show, Browning, he's like, "What's wrong with this team? It's like they're doing this on purpose." Like, but if you know, if you can really kind of, and if it's not gelling now, I'm fine if it gels later, right? You'd rather it gel later and everything, you know, kind of start clicking at the right time of the year and be that hot team.
Right.
So I just. The sky is the limit for this team. I truly believe that. And I think last night was a perfect example of when you really, really play a poor game and you beat a top 20 team in their house, that should tell you something about what it looks like if you guys are firing on all cylinders.
Yeah. So I'm obviously a lot to look forward to with A&M basketball as we continue to roll. You do have a handful of matchups coming up that are all going to be very interesting to keep an eye on, of course, with Texas on the road this weekend. And then we have to go, then we have Oklahoma here.
Yeah, we got OU here,
Then we're
and
at South Carolina, at
then at
Missouri.
Missouri. So, again, this is just a rough stretch on the schedule, you know. And I think if you look at it as a 5-game set, you know, obviously 5-0, you'd be jumping off the walls, right?
Yeah.
But knowing that 4 of these are on the road, 4-1, I think would be ecstatic. 3-2, I can deal with. 2-3 is where I'm a little,
Yeah,
and if
iffy.
we do, and if we only win one of these five, then I'm not I'm not real happy.
Yeah.
My outlook will probably change a little bit, but I think they can beat Texas. They beat OU on the road. You've shown you can beat OU. And again, playing a bad game and you still beat OU.
So I would love to see us. Yeah, if we can pull four out of that stretch,
Oh,
I'll
it'd be
feel
amazing.
ecstatic. I'll feel ecstatic. If we find a way to pull off all five, whoo boy. But
Well, yeah, we pull off all five, and you're talking about a whole different stratosphere on this team.
it is. But
The only ones ranked, I believe, in the set of five. Well, no, we already played Ole Miss. They were ranked. Is it Missouri, right? Missouri's in the 20s right now.
They're number 22 at the moment.
Okay,
So
so Missouri on the road, not gonna be easy. That's a really, really good environment for basketball.
Well, and the
With the
fact
Big
that
12.
you well, and you have a highly ranked Texas A&M team, and anytime you're ranked going into anybody else's house, people are going to show.
It's gonna be
And so
packed.
it's going to be packed. All those games. I mean, the Moody Center's going to have a ton of Longhorn. I mean, they'll show out. Of course they will. I'm sure plenty of Aggies that'll go. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking ahead, and I know jumping ahead in the schedule, but something that really, really strikes me as a cool little deal down the stretch is you get number six at home. You have to go on the road to number five, sure. But after that, you have number one at home. So, I mean, you got two top 10 teams coming into Reed Arena. And if A&M continues to work on what they've been working on, we have a similar situation maybe to what was going on with Alabama. All of a sudden, you've got more top 10 matchups happening at Reed. And all the more reason to get out there and rock and roll it.
Schedule is absolutely bonkers,
It's
man.
insane. Like the
Yeah,
year.
it's just, I mean, I'm looking at this, it's just a grind, man. She's coming off Missouri, you get to come home, you get Georgia.
Arkansas.
Well, yeah, so this is that four out of five at home stretch, right?
Yeah.
So Georgia at home is a maroon out game. You got Arkansas at home, and I don't know what's going on with Arkansas. Everybody pretty much wants to write them off, but it is still a Calipari team.
Yeah.
They did move did lose Oh, what was his name? I don't know. They lost like a key player for the season. He's out. At Mississippi State again. I mean, they beat Ole Miss,
Yeah.
So where, where's your break? Where's the break in the schedule?
What, Vanderbilt? Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, just
Maybe.
relative to the names around it, because then you got to go to Florida, and then
Right.
you can go for senior night, and you have number one team in the country, Auburn, coming in.
Yep.
Then you finish the season at LSU, and they love nothing more than to beat us.
Oh yeah, especially late. That would be
Yeah.
a big deal. So yeah, looking at the rest of that
It's
schedule, it's certainly gonna be
fun though, man. It's
fun.
funny to me to look at the basketball schedule in almost the same light that we look at the baseball schedule.
Right. It's
It's just like,
insanity.
where are the breaks? It's
No
so
idea.
crazy.
No idea. And then, of course, other side of the coin, you got women who do have a game tonight coming up at Reed against Kentucky,
Yeah.
which was not, like I said, we haven't, let's see, we have not played them yet, I don't think. No, this would be the first matchup with Kentucky. But when a good matchup at Reed against Georgia, it was back and forth the whole way. Finally, fourth quarter, we pulled away. Win that game by five, and that was good to see.
Yeah, you got to get wins. You got to get wins where you can. Number 11 Kentucky coming to town. It's just going to be a tough one, man, quite frankly, because their schedule's no easier. They got 11 number 11 Kentucky at home. They got to turn around 3 days later, go on the road to number 5 LSU to go play them in Skeletor. Then they got to go another road game, Arkansas. Then they come home for Texas, but Texas is number 7. Yeah, so it's just brutal schedules, man. I'm gonna be watch. I don't know if I'm gonna get to the game tonight, but I'll be keeping an eye on it. So
Should
we'll
be.
talk about well that, and then obviously the LSU game. We'll have a lot to talk about, I'm sure, next week.
Oh, I'm
Kind
sure.
of games, yeah.
So we'll see how that one plays. But yeah, so good to see all that been going on. Let's see. Had a
When did the preseason rankings come out for the Diamonds? Was that before our last one? Did we talk about that yet?
We talked about one of them that had come out.
That's right. Softball had not yet. So yeah, so softball comes in at number 7 in the country. I thought I was a little bit higher than I thought it was going to be, quite frankly. I thought it would be around 10, maybe 10, 11, 12. again, what Trisha Ford is doing over there, some key portal, additions, Emily Kennedy coming back. You know, if you've got a one, you've got a chance. Yeah, that's how softball rolls. So we have number one and number seven over on West Campus preseason. And I get the preseason rankings don't matter. I do. You know, we've seen plenty of teams ranked high and just absolutely bottom out. But I think the programs, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening with either one.
In this year in particular, it's not just the merits of the previous season that are holding true. It's the fact that you have personnel that are still around from both of those teams, as well as key additions that have improved the standing in the eyes of a lot of people of what the potential high-end ceiling of these teams are. So when you have, number seven, they think you're going to make it to Oklahoma City. You're number one, they think you're going to go to O-Town. It's just a fact of life. When people see that, they are telling you from the outset, we know what your expectations are, which unfortunately those same expectations then get put onto the fans, and we have to sit back and be like, okay, can they do it?
Well, and you'll have all the, people jumping off cliffs here and there. And baseball and softball is not for the timid. And quite frankly, basketball isn't either. Because like you're gonna lose, all right? Like you're going like it'd be really cool to have a perfect season. Don't get me wrong, like that would be absolutely amazing. But that feels like the kind of thing where, if you have a perfect season, you're gonna be the one that bows out in the tournament, kind of thing, in the postseason.
Right. Let me throw this one
Was
back
that
real quick.
Tennessee a couple years back when they won like a billion games and then they lost like.
They lost in the Supers.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, wait, what? How'd that
Yeah.
happen?
Was it Notre Dame that beat them?
It might have been, yeah, because we ended up taking them on. They would have been on our side of the bracket. I
That's
mean,
right. Yeah.
just let's look at A&M baseball last year just as a point of reference. We went 53-15. You lost 15 games and finished the season number two. You're going to lose games. Our conference record that year went 19-11. We basically took two of three every weekend. And if you can take two of three every weekend,
No,
oh boy.
you're one of the best programs in the country.
Yeah, you are the best program in the country. Because that's assuming you are going to win every single series. Yeah, you're going to end up dropping a game here and there. You're probably going to drop a series here and there. It's just going to happen.
But you're probably going to sweep a series.
But you probably will sweep a series here and there. It's just, I think for us, the big thing is just don't get swept at any point if you don't have to. And like I said, if you're at home, win the series. If you're on the road, find a way to win the series, and if you can't win it, take a game.
Yeah, take a game.
Take a
Absolutely.
game. And
Yeah,
I think that's such a winning strategy to go long term.
there's a lot of excitement around these teams, and it's all warranted. I think the hype, I think the excitement, I think it's all warranted. I just if basketball wasn't playing so well, I'd probably be even more keyed in.
But it's nice having multiple sports to
Yeah.
actually like be excited about, because I feel like, in previous seasons it'd be like, oh God, okay, let's just get to baseball. For the love of God, get us to softball. We're just over it, because basketball is just kicking you. Even though Buzz has been a perennially great coach here, has done a good job of getting us to the tournament, hasn't particularly done well once he's gotten to the tournament, but he's at least gotten there. And you've got to build upon that.
Yeah, this year's team's different though, man.
This team is playing different. They look different, and the feel is definitely different. You feel that they actually have the moxie to power through in these big situations and find a way to win games. Case in point, exactly what we saw last night. Excellent from those guys. And plenty to look forward to the Diamonds as well. I am just so very excited for that. But we were. It was one. There was something I wanted to check in on. Wanted to look at Premier League for a minute and just kind of analyze where we are now that we're kind of into the new year, and see kind of what that situation's looking like.
I mean, it's still tied up top. I mean, obviously, it's been weird to see City performing how they're performing, quite frankly. But I mean, it had to end sometime, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just the surprise of the season, I think, is obvious, is going to be Forrest.
Forrest has been outstanding. I mean, the fact that they're sitting at number three right now, only trailing due to goal differential.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And honestly, for me, kind of getting back into some of the old school, because when I first got into Premier League soccer, it was about 2013. So Liverpool certainly wasn't on the tear that they've been on over the past, 5, 6 years. They were far more, maybe hanging around about 7 or 8. They weren't really necessarily the best team whenever I was jumping in to watch them. But I remember hearing the old stories about the rivalry with Liverpool and Forest, and Forest's classics, in winning the Champions League twice, which is crazy to think about how far they fell. And now they're back in the Premier League. And not only are they back in the Premier League, they're doing very well there, which I think is excellent. I think that's such a cool story. But
Well, it almost reminds you of last year with Everton, a club that had never been relegated.
so close.
So close. Leicester, not that long ago, won the Premier League.
Yeah, they've.
I'd be shocked if they don't go down this year. I
I
don't know.
mean,
It's still, I mean, there's still enough Wolves, Ipswich, Leicester, and Southampton. Southampton's done. They're already cooked.
yes,
6 points.
Southampton's cooked.
But
But West Ham and Tottenham both being like as far down as they are is
yeah,
wild,
well,
as well as Manchester United.
yes, right. Yes, Manchester United, West Ham, and Tottenham, 13, 14, 15, which is bonkers to me.
That is
But
pretty bonkers.
like us being down there isn't as surprising because of the poor managerial decisions we've made
Fair.
and just the poor ownership that we have.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bad combination. And then on top of that, injuries. Bowen fractured his foot. Antonio got in a car wreck. I'm surprised he has his leg still. Tottenham being down there is cracking me up.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, and they're south of y'all currently, which is
It's
never not funny to me. Never not
that
funny to me.
warms my heart.
Well, I mean, Tottenham's huge. Tottenham's one of the biggest clubs in England, even though
I
they haven't
mean,
won a title in forever. You know what Tottenham reminds me of? I hate that I'm going to have to use this phrase, but I'm going to do it anyway, so don't hate me. Tottenham's the A&M of the Premier League. They have all this money, all these resources, and no titles to show for it. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't like that at all.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, so many Aggies are Spuds fans. They're used to the beating.
Oh, there are a lot of Aggies that are Tottenham fans, which I find fascinating to me. And
Yeah.
I think how many of them are like San Antonio based people that happened to go to A&M and were like, Spurs, Spurs, hey. You'd be shocked.
The accuracy is stifling.
You'd be shocked at how many people do that. I mean, one of my best friends, the first one that really got me into all this, he was very much a Chelsea guy and was trying to sell me on Chelsea when I was getting into this. And I told him, I said, what? He said, what are you looking for in a team? I said, well, maybe they've got some good history, maybe not the best team in the world right now, but it's got a great fan base and it should be fairly easy to follow, but not necessarily the best team right now. And he goes, damn it, you're a Liverpool fan. And I went, oh, okay. So I went and looked in, and that's how I gandered my fandom for Liverpool, was going down that road versus maybe, oh, hey, this team's winning the Premier League this year. I'm going to go pull for them or whoever, right? But I think anytime you can find somebody who goes and finds a natural team, a little bit lower, maybe they're like, I'm an Aston Villa fan. Why? I don't know. Maybe they just want to be an Aston Villa fan. Good for you. As far as I'm concerned, in the States, like we don't have any direct connection as a vast majority of fandoms, here in the States, we don't have a direct connection to any of those teams.
No. No, I mean, picking something like that, it's just like picking a Bundesliga team. I mean, unless you trace like your family genealogy back to a certain region, I guess that would make sense, which that's actually what I did when Bundesliga was the only thing on, like during COVID, when the Bundesliga was the first one to come back. Like I traced my origins, so hence I'm a Leverkusen fan.
There you go.
Because that's the region I come from.
That's it's closest one to you. That's cool though. I mean, that's a good way to go about it.
But yeah, no, I became a West Ham fan in 09. So I've been through a relegation.
That's it. So you've
it's
dealt with it.
like this awful badge of honor. Yeah, she's like, yes, I become a West Ham fan and they get relegated. So my bad.
But
Yeah.
hey, they're back and they have done well. I mean, they were in Europa.
Well, yeah, we won. I mean, we run the, was it Conference League? So I mean, we actually had hardware.
That's
And
awful.
I couldn't take much more of watching Moyes Ball, but if I'd have known it was going to be Lopetegui, I would have dealt with Moyes Ball. The fact that he's back at Everton is hilarious to me.
Oh yeah.
But I'm really excited about the Graham Potter hire. He's a guy that, at one point I was surprised that he wasn't the England national manager, quite frankly. So I'm excited about it. It's one of those things where, there's a cautious optimism. And I also know that it's just going to take time for the squad to figure out how he wants them to play. And he's going to have to figure out what members of the squad are going to play the way he is. And then, and then again, our management, our owners are just complete trash. So who knows what kind of moves we're going to make in the transfer window, if any.
It would be interesting to see how all of it plays. I was
Or cheesebag.
not sure if you were keeping up with Premier League this year. Well, no, not Premier League, Champions League.
No, not particularly. I've seen some matches, seen some results, but not much.
Oh, Liverpool's just been cruising along. They're 7-0, and then Barcelona and Arsenal behind them. But Bayer Leverkusen, they're chilling. I mean, they got 13 points because like they restructured the Champions League this year. They're not doing groups like they have in the past.
Right, yeah, it's a standings. I saw City is like one match away from being done because they're down the bottom.
Now, I mean, they're sitting at 8 total points. I mean, they have 2 wins, 2 draws, and 3 losses. They have not been on top of their game this time
Yeah.
around. Meanwhile, I mean, it's been interesting. It's been interesting to kind
I
of keep.
like that. Quite frankly, I like that setup.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't hate groups, but at the same time, if I like the idea of, hey, let's actually play some of these other top level teams and do multiple matches. I think that's a really good way to go about it.
I like it a ton more.
Yeah, I agree. So that was good. We did have a couple questions.
Yep, fire away.
So Jive Coach G asked, what is the Tuesday game you are most looking forward to? I would assume that's baseball.
Yeah, it's got to be.
So let me pull up
I know
the.
I know this one.
Okay.
So there's a Tuesday game that we have Sam Houston. It's in April, and it's stacked right in between being on the road at Arkansas and on the road at Tennessee.
Ooh.
So I don't know if that's going to be my favorite Tuesday game, but
Yeah.
that is really one to look at. Back-to-back weekends on the road in the SEC at two fantastic programs. Great environments. So that would be one that would not surprise me if it got dropped. Like if we were to lose that one, like if I had to pick a Tuesday game, I thought that we could lose, that might be one because you're coming off of an emotional Arkansas series and then you're on the road and you've got Knoxville coming up,
Well, so I'm checking the schedule here, and the way the schedule is set up right now, I'm assuming, this is baseball, and this is this year. All right. So the way it's lining up, you have Incarnate Word on Tuesday, then we're on the road at Tennessee. We host Sam. Oh, no, excuse me. We're on the road at Sam. It's at Don Sanders.
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Tennessee. It's lodged in between Arkansas and Texas.
So Sam
It's
Houston's
eight,
between. Is between Tennessee and South Carolina.
and it's also between we play Sam a couple times.
Oh yeah, then we have Sam again at home.
Yeah,
Got it, got it, got it, got it, got it.
that April 22nd game in between the Arkansas series and the Texas series.
Okay, that makes
So,
more sense.
two fantastic programs. I mean, even if you're just going to Austin, that's a high emotion
It will be.
series, and with Schloss and all the storylines. So that Tuesday game would be sorry, it won the one before Tennessee. That one would be the one I would be eyeing because it's sandwiched between two road trips.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting Tuesday to keep an eye on for sure. I think that'll be going. And then honestly, the way they played last year, I'd be keeping an eye on that Lamar game too between Texas and LSU that next Tuesday. I think both of those are particularly interesting. I do like the fact that we are doing a road Tuesday at Don Sanders in Huntsville. if you are local and you haven't been to a game there as an Aggie fan, it's a lot of fun. Just because it takes over. There's always a ton of Aggies there, and it's, almost a true home game on the road.
Well, we've got another one, and I don't know what they're projected to be like this year. But we've got a road game down in Houston.
Yep. And
Yes. And that's late in the season. I mean, that's May. That's what got to be one. That is the last Tuesday game.
that'll be a tough game. They always like to get up for that one.
Well, but it's at least it's between two home series, though. So I like that. I like doing a little bit of traveling for Tuesday as long as we can keep it local and nothing crazy, you know?
Right, yeah. Like this year it's Huntsville and Houston, which is nothing
Yeah.
too far outside of the
Those are
realm of what
commuter
we've
drives.
done. Right. So yeah, I would say on top of as far as Tuesdays, I agree with you. I would say either that Sam game in between Arkansas and Texas or that Lamar game between Texas and LSU. I think those are two interesting, as well as Houston. So really the last three.
Yeah, pretty much in the back end.
Yeah,
I
the
don't
back.
see anything. Yeah, I don't see anything before that that concerns me or anything like that.
Oh my God, here comes Tarleton. UIW, Houston Christian. Yeah, so just kind of the typical run.
Yes, typical Tuesday slate, man.
Yeah,
Nothing
typical Tuesday slate.
other, other than going on the road a little bit.
Okay, here was something for you. And this was a that was from Jive Coach G was asking that one. So our other buddy San Antonio Dave, he had a question. He
Word.
said, has there ever been a more anticipated opening day in Aggie baseball history? And when do you think they'll lose their first game? Tough schedule, but I don't see them losing a game until conference play. So I could see us dropping a game here and there just because that's the way the game tends to fall. But if I had to pick a game that would probably challenge us early,
I think it's the one at the Astros, like Arizona or Oklahoma State, just
I was
going
going to
to
say,
being, just the going down to what is it, Enron again or Minute Maid or I don't know what it is now.
what have
It's
they
the,
rebranded it
it
to?
will forever be the juice box.
It's the juice box to me, yeah.
So just those kind of little round robin tournaments sometimes can get a little goofy. I think a lot of the coaches use them as, it's a little bit of experimentation time against, teams that are of higher quality
Yeah.
than what you've been playing. I mean, we're opening up with Elon, and McNeese and Cal Poly. So these are, a little bit higher up the higher echelon kind of or higher quality of competition.
Sure.
So if we were going to lose before conference play, that would be where I could see it happening just because those
Yeah.
are, they always get a little weird sometimes.
Well, and Rice doesn't really resonate with me at this point.
No.
They've really fallen off. So I mean, yeah, between Arizona and I would say probably Oklahoma State, between the two of them, they'll challenge us a bit.
It'll be
UTSA.
better competition.
Oh yeah. And then you got New Mexico State, which unfortunately they've fallen off as a baseball program. They were really good several years ago, but they're not quite there yet. But yeah, getting into conference play, then you've got
You know, if you want to take a peek at one Tuesday game, like that Prairie View, the Tuesday before our first, first home conference series, and Prairie View plays us hard, man.
they do sometimes.
Yes, well, that's fair.
Sometimes. I vividly remember one game when we put up 14 in the first two innings, and it was like, oh no,
Yeah.
this could get ugly quick. And
Yeah.
it's so bad
It,
sometimes.
it's just one of those where we'll see like truly the maturity of this team, which I'm not questioning in any way, shape, or form.
No.
But, the maturity of this team to be able to stay locked in on a Tuesday against an inferior opponent, knowing that Alabama is coming to town on Friday.
Yep. And that's a big series. Then you got to go on the road to Vanderbilt right after that. So
It never stops.
it never stops. The SEC this year, and not to mention, then you get Kentucky at home, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, Kentucky. That was an Omaha team.
Yeah.
That was an Omaha team.
Were fun to watch last year.
Right. And you get them at home, on the road at Tennessee, host South Carolina, on the road at Arkansas, on the road at Texas. Host LSU, host Mizzou, on the road to Georgia. It won't stop.
Then you got to play in the damn conference tournament.
Then you got to do the freaking conference tournament. Then you got to go and try to win the whole damn thing. It will be tough. That is just a fact of life. But
The grind, man. It's an imperfect game.
you got to work for it. That's just a fact. So
Well,
that's a thing.
that I have full faith that they're doing, quite frankly.
Oh yeah, no work for it. There's no question. I'm so very excited for all of that, but good stuff. How is the rest of your week looking?
Well, there's not much left since we're doing this on a Thursday.
Right.
just work, man. Finally really getting back in the swing of things. I've got some bunch of out of town clients, so they're starting to come in on the weekends, and because that's their time where they can come in and check stuff out. So just trying to move property, man. That's it.
That's good. I
I'm
actually
battling with my heater in my house.
mine's so actually I'm my heater's not even running right now because the house has now gone above 70 degrees. So it's just kind of chilling at the moment.
Yeah,
No.
mine's off actually. Maybe they
Yeah.
did fix it.
Yeah, so mine's not running right now. I did want to say one quick thing. Rest in peace, Bob Uecker.
Oh, Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker, man.
Yeah, Mr. Baseball.
Mr. Baseball. And anybody who thoroughly enjoyed the Major League movies, like I
Oh,
did.
I loved them.
He was the personality of those movies.
It was so great.
So
Oh,
great.
you know what? I do have one thing. I guess I forgot about this.
What you got?
There's a new American Legion post in town. It's post number 1938. It's called Aggieland Post. We're working on getting our charter basically. We just need a couple more members. But if you're in the BCS area and you're a veteran, you're not a member of the Legion yet, reach out to me. We'll get you into the post. I am the inaugural post commander. So
Woo.
that's it's my post. So if you're interested in membership in the Legion, we meet every the third Sunday of every month. Right now we're meeting at the firehouse over on University over by Golden Corral. Until we really kind of get settled. The first year is just all about growing membership. But if there's anything that you have an organization would like to do something with the Legion, feel free to reach out. You can find me online. You can find me on BachRealtyGroup.com. I'm not hard to track down. You DM me, whatever. So
That's good.
I am the commander.
We will ask the questions. But
A show recommendation.
yes, go ahead.
Man in the High Castle. It's on Prime, and it is post-World War II in America, had we lost the war.
Yes,
And
is
so
it?
from like central to the East Coast is German controlled, the West Coast is Japanese controlled. I'm only a few episodes in, but it like getting through the first episode is a little icky. With like just seeing like America under Nazi and Japanese control, post-World War II.
Yeah.
But if you can get over like just the thought of that, it's really cool. I've enjoyed it so far. I'm not that far into it, but I've enjoyed it so far.
Yeah. I would definitely go check that one out. I'm a big fan of alternate history. I've always found it fascinating. In fact, there's a couple of YouTube channels that likes to cover that kind of stuff that I like to follow in on. And they'll go into a bunch of really fun and interesting scenarios. Like, what if we just What if Pearl Harbor just didn't happen? Basically, like we never put an embargo on Japan. What would have happened? Stuff like that or whatnot. Just like little scenarios from all over history. Some things that have minor consequences, some things that have major consequences, some things that in reality just weren't going to change a whole hell of a lot. Like, for example, they said, what if the Texans lost the Texas Revolution? What would happen? Someone said, well, Texas would eventually be bought by the United States anyway, because the U.S. was manifesting destiny and they were going to fight Mexico one way or the other. Which I'm like, yeah. I mean, we just wouldn't be celebrating Sam Houston or any of those guys. Damn it. But we, but
Who would
Texas,
we be playing on Tuesdays?
yeah. Who would we be playing on Tuesdays? Not Sam Houston State University. That much is for sure.
Ana Tech.
Ugh. Even more reason to beat him. Golly, don't even get me started on that guy. So what I've been working on, I actually have been taking some guitar lessons over at the music lesson spot I work at with Greg. I've been sitting down just going through guitar stuff, and that has been very eye-opening to me. I've actually learned a lot, which is convenient. Well, learning some new alternative ways to play that are way more efficient. I'm like, oh. That's a thing. That's really cool. So I've been able to Play around with that. New merch for Carson Jeffrey is now out, so check that out on the website whenever it gets uploaded. Excited for that. A new shirt that I helped design,
Nice.
along with I got some new hats. We're looking at getting some new stickers and things like that. But leaning into this upcoming weekend, so not this weekend, but the following weekend, we will be going to Cheatham Street in San Marcos and Blue Light in Lubbock. So we will be back on the road. We're in a bus for the weekend. I'm ecstatic because,
Such little things.
just the idea that we can go hang out in San Marcos the night of, just go goof off after the show, because we don't leave till 4 in the morning. And we'll roll out, go parking, be out front of the blue light by 1 p.m. Get out there, load up, and we can just relax. Nothing much else to write home about. It's going to be great. I'm so looking forward to that weekend. Should be a lot of fun. A show announcement that I have been looking forward to, and I am so ecstatic that it has now been announced. March 21st, we will be at Lukenbach, Texas. So
Nice.
if you know anybody out that direction, or if you're north side of San Antonio, Austin, whatever, and you want to come watch us out in Lukenbach, by all means do so. That'll be March 21st. And should line up with, potentially, we're still trying to lock the date, but the new record is coming out probably around then. I would say either the 21st or the 28th is when we're expected to release the new record. Just went down to Cat Spring on Monday evening before the snow got here, and he and I did a bunch of filming. So we got a bunch of video content leading into the record stuff, as well as more filming we're going to be doing down the stretch. Just a lot of things that are starting to fall on my plate, in addition to the music lessons, in addition to the actual stuff I do for the band. I feel like I'm running around like a crazy person, but it's been good. So I can't complain. And I think what's honestly helped me a lot has been, and this is no endorsement, we're not sponsored, none of that fun crap, but I got on AG1 this year, and it's just kind of probiotic kickoff to your start of your day, one of the green drinks. That has been excellent for me. So no complaints on that front. Feeling
I just take my daily old man vitamins.
fair enough. That's how I feel. Feeling good in the neighborhood, having a good time. But yeah, that said, want to just have a little quick podcast, talk a little about a little basketball, lean into baseball, a little soccer, just something before the Texas game coming up this weekend.
Yep.
And we'll see how that one pans out. So
Yeah,
let's.
we'll be back on next week to talk Texas game,
Oh, yeah.
talk the women's games,
Yep.
and maybe we'll start doing some positional highlighting stuff for baseball and softball.
Yeah, we'll start getting into some good stuff there. But be sure to follow us on all of our socials. Leave a like and comment if you're on YouTube. Once again, that is the Red Ass Podcast on both Instagram and X. Be sure to follow Roy May 15, Roy May Jr. on X and Instagram, as well as Rob the Slapper on both. You will find us. We will be more than happy to chat with y'all.
I do have some social media stuff I'm going to start putting out regularly. They're just going to be memes, and it's going to be about real estate, but it's going to be pretty snarky.
And I am continuing a series, so I've been uploading a handful of videos of me playing kind of older songs on bass, whether it's music that I've recorded or songs that I'm just learning for my own personal use. And the two most recent uploads have been Rosanna by Toto and then Carry On Wayward Son from Kansas. Whew, boy, let me tell you, that is a hell of a bass line to have to learn. But it's a great song. So
Excuse me.
that's been an exciting part of just lead a little more into the social media stuff. Just have fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Literally, it's just going to be snarky. It's going to be me.
Gonna be you. And Roy, by definition.
I'm taking a ton of pictures, and so like I'm gonna meme myself.
Yeah, as you should.
Yeah, as I should. Get my face out there, right?
Absolutely.
Not that the world necessarily needs that, but it's coming.
Yeah.
So, all
Well,
right. Thank
folks.
y'all so much.
Yep. Thank y'all so much for checking us out. We will see you guys next week. Thank you, Gig'em. Beat the ever living hell out of Texas. Beat the ever living hell out of Kentucky. Beat the ever living hell out of LSU. Again, this is the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Y'all have a great day.